For many, these words would not be true.
Praise you, Jesus.
For them to say would be presumption on their part, believing that they have the ability to take matters into their own hands. But know this, when you speak concerning me and my word, mm-hmm. and the profitability of you going forward in me, then you can make an assurance, an assured boast in the Lord, knowing this, that your destiny is in your own hands,
yes.
saith the Spirit of grace.
Amen.
Know this, that the things that you desire most about me, that perpetuate themselves out to the outward limbs, to health and healing and soundness of mind and prosperity of body, soul and spirit, all these things have already been set in my word. Therefore, when you decide in one moment how to go in and to seek me and to go forward in a year, then know that at the end of a time and a season, after doing these things, taking your future into your own hands, you can have what you say,
yes.
saith
Hallelujah.
The Spirit of grace.
Oh,
hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Thank you,
thank
Jesus.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, for many, they stiframan stay. For many, incite excitement among crowds and offer swelling words, predicting dates and changes of times based on calendar years. Know this, that if anything happens according to date, it's not because anything of that particular date changed anything in and of itself. But know this, that when I am able to come because of the authority that has been given to me mm-hmm. by the speaking of my mm-hmm. word and by mm-hmm. intimacy and fellowship mm-hmm. in those things, mm-hmm. then know that I can mm-hmm. promise in dates and times, mm-hmm. and know this, that in this year, you will, many of you, turn and say, this was the best year of my mm-hmm. life,
yes.
saith the Spirit
Amen.
Of grace. Hallelujah.
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 Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Abete se Dio. De freman se diato from briste de pola. Many of you on this path, people that you don't know, you'll meet. They'll have part in your future, saith the Spirit of grace. The things that you cannot see right now, very, very shortly, are around the corner for you. Keep speaking the mysteries and speaking my word, saith the Spirit of grace. For what you cannot see is an excitement in the Spirit.
Yes.
Whereas you'll speak one to another, did you hear what happened?
Yes.
And did you hear about this breakthrough?
Yes.
And God gave me this opportunity. And
yes.
things begin to happen in the financial arena where many were blessed on right hands and on left hands,
yes.
saith the Spirit of grace.
Oh,
so know this, that in this, I have a plan for you. And what you cannot see, if you rejoice now, it'll speed you all the quicker to that place that what is around the corner, I'm able to get to you through shortcuts, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Should have done this on the
Hallelujah.
New Year's Eve service.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worship you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank
Hallelujah.
You, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
We are excited.
Hallelujah. Say to kiddies,
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Thank you, Jesus.
You brought up that scripture that somebody just said to me yesterday.
Jesus.
Do I not know my own thoughts, saith the Spirit of grace? My thoughts are to bless you and give you an expected end.
Yes.
When does that end start? Not at the end of your life. Know this, that if I can, I will. And I can, if you will, saith the Spirit of grace. So if you will step in, know this, I'll put you on a fast track so you don't have to wait months in a miserable state waiting for something to happen. That before the end of this day, I'll put you in divine connection and contacts and places and things that'll begin to move an escalated kind of power, a supernatural kind of power that you'll say, my God, God's been thinking good things about me, saith the Spirit of grace. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
praise you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
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 We worship you.
Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Well, I think you need to
Hallelujah.
Go around and
Hallelujah.
Hug somebody and then tell them, let's go down and you guys can do that, but then you got to get back up here because we're going to worship a little bit more. Get somebody and say, how about let's go down, let's go down to the altar together and worship a couple rounds. Hallelujah.
Oh, I take your mind. Hallelujah.
Amen. Hallelujah. Just got some good news. That twin, that little Caroline, she's doing good.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So she's eating away and getting bigger. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
That's what we need to hear. So let's just do a little more
Hallelujah.
Since we're all one family. Hallelujah.
Praise you, Jesus.
We had a good time the other night, didn't we?
Yes.
And brought the new year in right. Praise God.
Praise you, Jesus.
I get drunk every New Year's Eve.
Amen.
Never ashamed of it. So let's just worship God. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. I'll pray the benediction and we can go home. That was it. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Glory. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Marcia, you want to put those up here? When Israel was going through a tremendous hard time and people were starving, the Lord sent the prophet out, told him where to go, and he was recovering and laid himself down by a brook, and other people were thirsting. He was drinking, and every day the ravens brought him something. And then when I guess God thought maybe the guy had gotten so used to one thing that he wasn't maybe trusting in the Lord, God said, okay, I got something else for you. So he heard the word of the Lord, go to Zarephath, and I got a widow there that's going to, she's got something that she's going to give you to eat. And the whole thing was this, hearing what he had to say. The biggest problem with the church is, now back when, in the day, when somebody said, oh, my God, he's just blessing us. He's blessing us. And I'll tell you, anytime you give God thanks, if it's over a cheeseburger or for the bonus you got and the good time, he'll receive it because he just loves worship and he loves fellowship. So he doesn't condemn you. The only thing is that usually it's a hodgepodge and everybody's kind of in a melting pot. And so there's not a lot of people standing up on a real faith-filled kind of basis. And even when they say God's bringing this in, he is, but he isn't. Per se, he is. Per se. But the per se is this, is that it's usually just a cascade of everybody in a nation being blessed. But then the rubber hits the road when you have to really stand up and believe it in. Then you'll know. And we're kind of at that point now. But the problem is that when you have a game face in church, and it doesn't mean that you don't mean it. You do mean it again. My God, God the Father was just receiving your worship like crazy. But then on Monday, if you go out and start talking just like they talk, I don't know what we're going to do either. I don't know. But he can't supersede that. I mean, even if he loves you, you could just lay right there and starve to death with him looking at it and saying, man, I wish I could do something. I sure wish I could do something for him. But when you keep your game face after church and you go out, and another Christian will say, I don't know how we're going to make it to you. And I don't know. If you just with love, turn and say, no, I got to speak the truth. My God supplies in 2010 as much as He did, because otherwise it's all irrelevant. And then we're just in a hodgepodge of... See, the blessing was hearing Him. And you can't... The prophet heard Him, okay, stay here. Stay here. And then he heard Him, no, get up now and move. As long as you're talking, you'll just talk yourself right through and you'll be suffering with everybody else. But if you'll still away and listen, and when He says, here it is, go there, go here, go there, then you can stand up with great boldness and saying, my God, supplying all of my need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus, and I can have as much in the bad times, according to what the world calls bad times, as I can in the good times. Otherwise, what separates us from the world? Our health ought to be separated. Our finances ought to be separated. Everything. They ought to look at us and say, you're peculiar. And the peculiar is not us acting weird like we're falling on the floor and jerking and all that kind of stuff peculiar. The peculiar is like, how come when everybody else does, how come you got the call? How come you got the favor? How come you got a raise during this time when you're not supposed to? How come you don't get sick so much? Hallelujah. But I go to heaven either way. I go to heaven getting in there and talking with them, just like the rest of them, like the world, and saying, I don't know what I'm going to do. And yeah, every morning I wake up, I'm sick. I still go to heaven. I'm just not peculiar. I'd rather be peculiar. Peculiarly blessed. Peculiarly healthy. Hallelujah. I'm not getting as many amens as I need to. Some of you are under conviction, I guess. Hallelujah. So with that, my God supplies all of you. Now, I will say this. I've been praying like crazy for you guys. But not all of you. Well, why not me? I've been praying for those of you that will stand up and take your position of inheritance, that you'll be extremely blessed. But the ones that are not doing that, I've been void of you. Didn't mean to, but I'm praying that those who stand up and say, God, You are the one that supplies all my... I said, God, go get them and show them You are who You say You are. Hallelujah. What about me? I hadn't been saying all that. Well, I can't help you until you do. But you can come under my umbrella of prayer when you start doing that. Hallelujah. My God, I still can't get too many amen. So, Father, I lift these things up and I worship You in this day and hour. You supply all of our need according to Your riches, not according to anything that the economy says, but according to Your riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Father, I worship You. There's still just as much gold in the earth as there ever was. They've got as much paper money printed as they ever did and more. There's as much wealth as there ever was. Father, You're able to supply all of my need and their need according to Your riches and glory by one Christ Jesus. And this is my confession. Fill these things up. And to everyone who'll come under, Lord God, this prayer, I pray, fill up, Lord God, all that they have need of. Fill up their houses with store. Introduce them to opportunities beyond what they could think possible at this present time. Bless them in every way. They're coming in, they're going out. Whatever's dried up, show them the other place to go to now. Give them wisdom, understanding, I pray. And put a watch, as Your Word says, put a watch over our mouth that we speak the things of God in truth and in justice. Hallelujah. And in liberty for all. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, as soon as you come up here and fill these up, then we're going to tell you about the land of lost prayers. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So if you have something, Would you get ready and just making out a church, check, Family Prayer Center. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Miss Kathy's doing a great job back there. And I guess Darwin is too. Yeah, okay, all right. Hallelujah. Oh, there's comments going on up here about who the better half is. See, I wasn't going to say that. But you notice that was all men's voices. Darwin, Kat. Okay. Okay, all for Kathy. Hallelujah. Jason Hamlin will be here next week. There's a flyer on the back, in fact, too. You're never going to meet a more dynamic person that is excited about Christ. Not with a pretense, not with a facade. It is a real, genuine going after the things of God. And Jason is an incredible story. He grew up on the basketball courts in Los Angeles, I think it was, in Southern California. He hung around guys like Magic Johnson and those kind of guys. And you see him, you won't believe it, because he's a little guy. But he travels into some of the toughest places of the world, sits down with Al-Qaeda. He probably knows people in inner circles of people that you and I probably wouldn't want to know, that CIA people are trying to get behind the scenes with these people. But God has given him favor, and he's reaching the world. 80-something countries he's been in, and he'll be here with us next Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. He'll be ministering for the youth on Sunday night. And powerful. You know how he began? He got born again, and I think it was he may correct me on this, but I think it was the night of, or right soon thereafter. It was like I think it was the very night or the very day or whatever. He was walking out of the service, and somebody walked up to him in California, and how they had it, I don't know, and gave him a series of tapes. It was called Tongues for the Believer by Dave Roberson. And he went out, and he got filled, and he just started walking up and down the beach. Jason was headed towards being a Hollywood actor, and he just started praying in tongues 3 or 4 or 5 hours a day. And God just launched him into a powerful worldwide ministry. So, testimony for tongues. It'll open up your horizons. Hallelujah. Praise God. Would you just stretch your faith towards me right now and pray for me? I would appreciate it. Father, I love you. I thank you for everyone that is here. I receive their prayers for me. I can do nothing of myself. Holy Spirit, I am so and want to be so dependent upon you that my every thought hinges on your grace, your peace, your mercy, your teaching ability. I call myself a teacher likened unto Christ, that I will speak those things of truth and grace and peace, and always wait on you, Father. Wait on you, Holy Spirit. Bless them now. Open up our hearts. In a powerful way we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Hallelujah. We've been last Sunday and then 2 Sundays before, I think it was, somewhere around there, we've been talking about the land of lost prayers and trying to answer some questions, and we won't conclude it today. We'll have to leapfrog Jason's coming, and I don't know when we'll conclude it then. But we were giving you some very powerful scriptures and some things to consider. And when I say the land of lost prayers, I'm just coining something by saying unanswered prayers, or what could be considered a place of unanswered prayers. Is there really such a place? I mean, is there such a place in God's economy in the spiritual realm? Well, if you consider things from a human standpoint, from the academics of a human standpoint, the scripture comes to mind when Jesus was talking about to his disciples concerning how hard it was for a man that was already depending on his wealth to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were mesmerized by what he said, because he gave them an example of how hard it would be to squeeze in to the kingdom of God. And they said, how hardly then can anybody be saved? Because they themselves, many of them, had a lucrative lifestyle. And Jesus said, with man these things are hard. And I'm paraphrasing, but with God all things are possible. Hallelujah. So with man, as we look back individually or collectively, I think every one of us can say over a lifetime, not every prayer prayed has been answered. From a human standpoint, not every prayer prayed has been at least answered from a standpoint the way that we asked them at the time or believed for them at the time. Some prayers, the answer for them, even if they came along, theoretically could not come along, because the answer has outlived the request. The answer coming has outlived the request. I mean, there's some requests that they've got to be answered now, or they don't get answered. I mean, they get answered now, or somebody dies. They go home, or they get answered now, or they come and pick up the vehicle, or they get answered now, or, I mean, some are can be prolonged. Some are in a living out. There are some things I've got before God that I know that as I walk it out, I can see it revealed. And so my request is not based on a limited amount of time, but some things are limited. So if it didn't get done, it didn't get done, and somebody or something hurts because of it, or lacks because of it. But I can tell you this unequivocally, is that as far as God is concerned, there is no such place. There is no such place as prayers shelved, prayers evaporated, prayers forgotten about, prayers just spoken from a human standpoint, and God going about His business as if, okay, well, I think I heard something from one of my children, but I really don't have the time or the energy to invest in it and getting it over to them. Hallelujah. That place does not exist in His heart. Hallelujah. But bringing you up to speed, trying to kind of help you and try not to go into it too far and run too many rabbit trails here, just some of the chapters and verses that we did look at. One was Matthew chapter 10, and I think it was 29 and 30, and we talked about how that just the foundation, I mean the rudiments of knowing that that place of unanswered prayer, or God always desiring to get it over to you. Now, there's a lot that we've got to answer here. And as I said, we won't get it done today. And I think in the weeks ahead, if we go weeks into this, you'll look back on some of the things we're saying now and say, oh, well, I much more readily understand. Because there's other academics that go into every prayer being answered. But as a born-again believer, you won't have to, in the days ahead, go through a cue card and look at it, a scorecard, and say, did I jot my I's and cross my T's to get these prayers answered? You'll know as an innate part of the character that is in you, based on the Scripture and based on what we understand about how prayer works and how He works to answer our prayers, you'll have that. It'll be part and partisan to you. You'll just walk around with it. You'll be pregnant with it, male or female, of the character of having to get your prayers answered. And none of us as of yet have arrived. But at least we're looking into that place. We're looking into that place. And we said last week, and I'll go back to Matthew 10 in a moment, but we said last week that our prototype is Hebrews 12, I think it's verse 2, it says, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Now, He's the prototype. And I don't care who you respect. A lot of you, I appreciate, respect me, appreciate our teaching here. You have other ministers that you really think are word people and you appreciate them, and I appreciate many of those. But I can tell you this, there's really only one prototype in getting the job done and seeing our prayers answered that we can look at all the time and say, this is the one I want to be like, and that is Jesus Christ. The reason being is, if you set your eyes on one man and say, my God, that was, oh man, was Catherine Kuhlman something else? My God, wasn't Oral Roberts something? Wasn't A.A. Allen something? Wasn't, you know, on and on, or current people, or Smith Wigglesworth, or people that I love and appreciate, mentors of mine. If you put your trust in them in a sense, and you say, well, I never put my trust in them. Well, we don't, but we do, in the sense as we say, boy, they got their prayers. Oh, man, God, they were a person of prayer, and they just could get cancer healed all the time. Oh, but, you know what? Every once in a while, they would, for whatever reason, you know, they would stand in front of somebody and they'd pray for liver cancer, colon cancer, or malaria, or whatever. And it just wouldn't get done. That person would die and go home. And that's okay. I mean, you know, there's no penalty against that for that person. Thank God for all the people they were able to get healed. But the problem with that is, if you look at that person, the enemy has the ability, even without you understanding it, to begin to put in the subliminal, and I say subliminal is way back in the back, a program that runs to say that, look, I can't ever get above where they were at. They were a powerful, look at what they're doing in the earth. Look at how many people they're healing. And if I stand in front of, I'm going to step up and I'm going to stand in front of a problem child. I'm not talking about a problem attitude child, a child that cannot, with any medical help, advance past where they're at. If I step up, and if I've locked in to anybody being more than just an example of faith, if I say they're the prototype, my God, I want to be like them, but if I don't take it to a point where Jesus is and abandon everybody else, then I can go to what will happen is, even without me knowing, when I step up, the enemy comes. Does he come? Oh, yeah, he comes in prayer lines. I hear him all the time. I'm hearing the Holy Ghost and hearing the devil, too, oftentimes. He'll say, no, this ain't going to happen. This ain't. You have to just absolutely know how to dip into that place, step into that place of shield of faith, and say, Jesus Christ is the prototype. I don't care how many times this has or has not happened. It's always your will. And Jesus, everybody you prayed for got healed. And you're the only one that I'll take as the final example in this life. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Praise God. So understanding that also gives place to this, is that confidence. Confidence is the basic rudimentary place of being able to step up and seeing your, if we want to say it like this, maybe a secular term, but your odds go up to where Jesus said it like this, 30, 60, and 100. It was the good, acceptable, and perfect. It was, you know, the stalk, the ear, and then the full corn in the ear. He continually talked about how that we progressed in the kingdom of God. I don't know where I'm at. I let Him judge me. I don't know if I hope I'm in past the 60, because 60, there's good, acceptable. And I hope that I'm getting up there closer and closer every day to that perfect, to where that He can take me and take my authority and use it on planet Earth to help bring about a revival like all of you are praying for. But confidence that He will do what He says that He will do. And that starts in that place where you have an intimate rapport with Him. You don't know Him as a secondary surrogate father, but He is someone very pertinent, someone very alive in your life that you are rehearsing continually, that He's around you and He's with you and He's in you. And so Matthew chapter 10 was one of those chapters that said, it's something that somebody make light of sometimes, and it's okay in a certain sense, But, you know, it's the one where he says that Jesus said, "Fear not them that are able to kill the body only, but fear him who is able to cast both body and soul into hell." And he said, concerning your father, it was that kind of fear that you were not tormented as Satan brings fear, but it's that kind of rapport that you love, respect, and you worship and adore your father. Knowing this, Jesus said that the very hairs of your head, are numbered. And I said a few weeks earlier, and I corrected last week because I said it was a misnomer in the sense I said, now this is how much God loves you. He's got some angel somewhere occupying a counting machine or accounting how many hairs you have on top of your head. And God said, no, that's not correct. It doesn't say anything about angels there. The intimacy of that is this. Your father himself is not a surrogate father. He himself is totally invested in you. He knows your every thought. He knows how many, directly, he knows how many hairs you have on your head. And knowing that, we took it a step further. We went to Psalms 139, which is one of my favorite psalms. And he says, you know my down sittings and my uprising, okay? Knowing my physical address is wonderful, God. But let's take it a step further. Let's take it a step further. You look at me so much that you know you can count. Somebody said, where does it start? Neckline, 2 inches, 3 inches up. I don't know. But he knows, and he says, that's how many hairs I'm watching. Oh, they took a shower. That's 10 less, 15 less. Okay, there you go. He is intimately involved. But the next step is this. It's just not from a physical academic. He doesn't know me from my downsittings and uprisings, whether you make that spiritual or physical. And he's talking about where I'm at physically. He knows it. But he says this. He says, there's not a word in my mouth, the Lord, that you've not known it altogether. And then he says something that just blows my mind. He says, thou hast seen and thou understand my thoughts afar off. Now, some commentaries will tell you that when he says, you've seen my thoughts afar off, meaning I'm over here and you're over there. And from my distant place, I can see from way over here, I can see your thoughts afar off. That destroys the rudiments of that whole chapter. He's saying this, I'm so close to you as that when you begin a thought that you've not yet even conceived and brought forth to fruition, I see your thoughts in their conception, meaning this, God knows me better than I know myself. Hallelujah to God. God knows me. He knows how to fix me. Because when you begin to doctor yourself, you become your worst enemy. Let's see, what did I mean by that thought? Or what are these? God knows my thoughts afar off, even when they begin to start and they've not yet conceived into a full-blown academic of thought process. God sees them. And if he sees them at the end of that chapter or further into it, I think it's around verse 20, he says, Lord, if I should count the thoughts that you have towards me, they are more, glory to God, than the sands of the sea. Meaning God is thinking about you and desires to bless you all the time. When you're sleeping, when you're awake, when He is there. Hallelujah. And He wants to multiply His feelings and affections towards you. Well, it's on that premise. It's on that basis. If I know how much, and I said this, and this about brings us up to speed, is that not because I'm trying to do it like, okay, let's put it on the refrigerator and rehearse this. Let me think about it. Let me do this. It's just because I spend so much time with Him, and I hope that you do, whether you have a busy schedule or what, because by praying in tongues and by worship, you can just spend your whole day with God even though you're having to be around other people all the time. You really can if you learn how to do that. But programming your brain, there's hardly a time that I don't wake up in the middle of the night or go to the bathroom or eat a sandwich or do whatever. Even when I'm cheering for the Gators, there's something in my, I mean, even in commercial breaks, and I'm not doing it from a legalistic standpoint like God's going to get me. That went years ago. I'm constantly knowing that He's monitoring my thoughts and I'm monitoring His thoughts. And when things shoot through there that I don't like, I know that He's there to grab those thoughts and put them under the feet of Jesus Christ. When thoughts come that are not from Him, I know that He's there and that He's monitoring me and I'm monitoring Him, and we're always one with each other. Hallelujah. That kind of confidence breeds something inside of you that when you go to minister or when you begin to pray, this is what Jesus said, and we read this last week, and this was out of John, I think maybe 20, I'm not sure, but we have that scripture from last week. When Jesus went to Lazarus' tomb, He said this. He said, He's about to call Lazarus forth, and He prays this prayer, and He says, "Father, for those who stand around me, I said this. But I want you to know, Father, I know that you do always, always hear me when I pray." Hallelujah. If there is a separation point, now I'm not, this is what you've got to understand, because we're going to talk about something here in 1 John chapter 3, and we're going to talk about where true confidence, this is one of the rungs of the ladder to answer the question of why didn't that prayer get answered? Why is the speed of my prayers being answered sometimes slow? Why did prayers prayed 20 years ago just get answered now, or 5 years ago? There's a lot to be answered, and there's a lot of rungs to this ladder, but every one of them fit intricately together. But the major one, I mean, the first stepping stone is this, is a place of confidence. And this is why we've spent so much time over the last few weeks talking about how intricately involved God is with you if you'll let Him be. And we don't want to get this morning to a place where you begin to question, okay, I have not been communing with Him like that, Pastor. Will He hear me when I pray? Yes, He will. But the academics of this is this. Prayers being answered is not based on Him. It's really based on you. When He did this, it is finished. It was finished. Everything for your healing, for your deliverance, for your prosperity, for your mental prosperity, for relationships, everything was poured out through Jesus Christ. When you're waiting for Him to come and do it, then you are fulfilling the verse of Scripture that is very ambiguous to most people when Paul said in the Word in Romans, he said, "Let not that man say in his heart, who is ascended, who is descended." That is to bring Christ up from the grave. That is to bring Christ down. Basically, that whole score is this. When you're waiting on God and saying, "God, will you do this? Will you do this?" What you're saying, it's amazing, the Paul, what he wrote in there. We broke it down before. He's saying, you're wanting God to come and do, when you're asking Him to come and do this, and you're waiting on Him like, "Why won't you do this? I'm asking you to do this. Lord, why won't you heal me? Why don't you get him out of the wheelchair? Why don't you..." When you're in that frame of mind, what he says you're doing, you're bringing Him back up, or you're bringing Him back down. Basically, bottom line, plain English, is you're wanting Him to do it all over again for you. And he's saying he's not going to do it all over again. He says, "Let not that man say in his heart," because nobody goes around you. I've never run into anybody saying, "When's God going to bring Jesus up from the dead again? When's He going to descend again?" You know, but he says, when you're waiting on Him and saying those things in your heart, like, "Why hasn't this taken place?" What you're saying is, "God, I need Jesus to come be crucified and say it's finished again for me." And he says he's not going to do that again. What you have to do is step over into the finished work and say, "God, I know that answered prayer, whether it gets answered or doesn't get answered, doesn't depend on you. It depends on me putting myself in the posture where you can get it over to me, what's already been done." Hallelujah to God. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. So that's the confidence that we have in Him. And so, as I said, and I want to preface this because it's very important, and I don't care how long we have to take. If it's a few weeks down the road, we finish this. We're not trying to finish something. We're trying to put something in perspective here. When you approach God, it's not on works. It's not on how many days you've been, how often you've been coming to church, how many hours you prayed last week, how much you've fasted, how much you've done this, how much. The moment that you step into Him, if you can, open up your heart and say, I receive His finished work, and I'm saying based on that, in Jesus' name, my little child, I call him whole, or this terrible thing that has come against my home right now, I need your immediate help, Lord. If it goes 6 weeks, this thing's going to be a mess. I need it happening now. And God's saying, everything I am is available for you. And it didn't matter if you hadn't shown up for 6 weeks or prayed or even talked to Him. You can, based on His grace, step over into that place and say, okay, God, it's not by works. It's not by anything. It's not even, and I'll say this, and this is stepping out a little bit, even your resistance to sin is not based upon your strength, but His grace in you. So answered prayer is all based on confidence, but here's the problem. And better yet, why don't I read it? Because this is what John said, and this will help you out about answered prayer, about the confidence of your heart. Let's turn to 1 John chapter 3. Are you getting anything out of this? Hallelujah. He said, John 3, I'm going to start let's look at verse 16. You could start almost any place. But he says in John, 1 John, this is a little John, John 3, 16, hereby perceive we the love of God, because He laid down His life for us. We ought to lay down our lives for the brethren. But whosoever has this world's goods and seeth his brother have need and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth? John asked a real deep question. Well, then, how can the love of God be working in him if he does have the capacity to change his brother's problem? He says, my little children, verse 18, let us not love in word, meaning not just word only, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And by this, or hereby we know, so he says, this is the testimony. By this we know that we're the, he says, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure, we shall assure our hearts before God. We'll back up to this in a moment, explain this verse. If our hearts condemn us, God's greater in our heart and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of Him, because we keep His commandments and do those things which are pleasing in His sight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now, again, square one, it's based on Him and grace. But we're talking about, our subject matter today is not grace. Our subject matter is prayers being answered on a confident level, to where that your percentage rating, if you want to say it like that, goes far more than just a hit, lick, and a miss. Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. Because with God's heart, He really, at the end of your life, if you grow to be an old man, old woman, what you pray should come to pass, and it should come to pass in the time frame that you need it to happen in. Now, your head can go crazy with that because you're thinking, my God, you mean whatever I ask? Listen, you'll also walk in a place of maturity where your asking will be so according to His will, a lot of the things that you're asking now, you won't be asking then. Oh, that's real good when you catch it. Not everybody in the revival is going to be raised from the dead. Not everybody. See, Jesus walked past. He healed the man at the gate, Nain. Yes, at the city of the... But do you know that there were thousands of people dying around Jesus? Thousands. But all that came to him, he healed. And when he heard the Father say, stop, he stopped. Walk over there and lay your hands on him. See, it's not in the hodgepodge of everything. It's a spirit-filled life. It's walking with the Father, having all of your provision met, and being an ambassador on this earth to hear the Father and say, okay, I've got a directive from the Father, and the directive is I'm supposed to pray for you, and you're supposed to be healed. And if you come and ask for help, see, a lot of times people, sometimes people will want help, but they'll want it like, are you passing out trinkets? Okay, I'll take one. Sometimes people will say, Pastor, will you come and pray for my friend? If your friend is an invalid, if your friend cannot move, if your friend is bedridden, I will be just like Jesus and go to them. But if you've said to your friend, I've got a pastor that moves in power, would you like for him to heal you? And he's, yeah, it'd be okay if you want to do that. I'm sorry. I don't have time for that. And I'm not being mean. My time is supposed to be praying, hearing from him. And if they want to reach out, not to me, because I'm nothing, but if they want to reach out to him, like the woman with the issue of blood, I will buy my own plane ticket to go wherever they're at and help get them healed. Hallelujah. That's why sometimes I say, and you got to watch this because you don't want to get prideful in it. And when I say I don't have time for that, I mean I'm talking about a disposition of the heart. I've got time for anybody that needs healing. But if they want to take it like, okay, I'll try that as a trinket if you want to. Yeah, you know, when you're giving out stuff for free, people take stuff and then just throw it away. Okay, I'll take five of those. What were they? I don't know. Widgets, whatever, I'll throw them away. I don't care. That's why a lot of times I'll say, can the person get here? Yeah. Well, then have them get here. How far away? If they're not 500 miles, if they're in Lehigh, LaBelle, Fort Myers, or the pastor they'd like for you to come. Why? Because when they come, they're expecting, I'm putting my faith out, and I believe that if I go, something will happen. Hallelujah. Now, does everybody understand that? But if they're sick and they can't get there, or if they just can't get there and they believe, then you go to them. Hallelujah. Amen. So it's a confidence. But we're going to read here, as we have read here, and we're back to 1 John. He just wanted to take a little journey of teaching on that for just a moment. But John says here, as we repeat this, he says, hereby we know that we are of the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our hearts condemn us, God is greater than our hearts and knoweth all things. Beloved, if our hearts condemn us not, then we have confidence towards God. Hallelujah. As I said, confidence is the first rung of the ladder. Your confidence in him and you, and this is where it begins. This is, and maybe this is as far as we'll get today. This is where the biggest portion of answered prayer will ever start and stop in your life, is a place of confidence that he hears you because you're doing his will. Because you're doing his will. You can live like the devil and have a perverse mouth and not be praying and not be coming to church and not be blah, 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 and step up to a grace line and say, you know what, Daddy, I know I'm asking you now. And he'll come because he's such a loving father, he'll do it. But you're not going to live your life on a perpetual basis of praying and getting prayers answered if you're not living in a place, if you're living in a place where you've got one foot in the world and you're messing around, and then you're wanting to also, because look, there are gifts. Gifts are as He wills. And gifts are mainly portrayed in collective gatherings. But the anointing of the believer is an anointing that comes by intimacy. And that intimacy comes by a place that you're walking with Abba and He's walking with you. And you know you're not perfect. My God, do I know that about myself. But you know that inside of you, you're living a right life. And you're right where you need to be. And you know that you're pleasing Him. It's out of that confidence, knowing that you're doing His will, that intimacy breeds a confidence that when you walk over here, Abba's with me. It's not a calculated confidence like, okay, I did that right, I did that right, I did that right. Okay, I've been going to church enough. Okay, God, I got enough in the bank of confidence. No, no, no. That walking with Him, and it's not, again, Him, it's you. Your heart will counsel you out. It'll X you out if you're not walking in a place. You say, well, I'm just going to step up here. I know that I've not been living like I'm supposed to, but I'm going to pray over this situation. Good. If you've got the confidence to do it, do it. But you're not going to get day in and day out and day in and day out prayers answered by living away from Him and living with perverseness in your life, because confidence breeds that intimacy that says, I'm with you, son. I'm with you, daughter. And you step up and you're not saying, have I jotted all my I's? Have I crossed my T's? I just know me and Abba have got this rapport. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that we do those things that are pleasing in His sight. I have this rapport with Him. Therefore, I say in Jesus' name, arise and be healed. Glory be to God. Thank you, Jesus. Now, John gives you a prepositional phrase here. He gives you something to, because a lot of times we're dying here. We're dying here, and we'll probably close with this. John says, if our hearts condemn us, then God's greater than our hearts and knows all things. In other words, if you've been acting ugly and not been loving your brother, there's still the clause that God says, okay, the testimony to your walk of being born again is that you should love one another. But guess what? That's not always how the church walks. So if you're not walking in that, get straightened up. But God is greater than your heart. And He knows that even in that, you're still His son or daughter. But get your heart straightened up so that you can walk past, oh God, am I going to heaven? No, my God, we got to be light years away from that. We got to be light years away from, am I going to make it? We've got to be into a place where I have confidence. I'm doing your will. I'm not cussing, drinking, smoking, and chewing with the girls that do. I am loving you and following you. And I'm not trying to name certain sins. I'm talking about if those things are part and parcel of the control of your life. And even if they are, if you're walking in a place where you can see that God's gaining ground against those things, there's a confidence inside of you that says, hey, I'm not where I'm supposed to be exactly yet, but I'm a lot further along than I was last year. And that confidence says, okay, I know there's some ugly on the inside of me still, but it's okay. Because I'm not dismissing it and saying it's okay. I'm just saying it's okay if I keep doing what I'm supposed to do before it's all over with. This will be exterminated. It will be extinguished. It will be gone from my life. And that rapport with God says, okay, God. Because when you dismiss something and you excuse it and say, okay, I know. I shouldn't go off on those frenzies and just cuss like a sailor and tell everybody off. I mean, that was way, you know, but you know what? That's way mama did it. That's the way, no, she didn't. But I mean, that's the way daddy did it. That's the way. It ain't going to happen. You're not going to walk in confidence with God, because that confidence comes from a place of you doing His will and walking in a place and saying, God, you and I have got more than a mediocre relationship. And when I do fail, I don't condemn myself, but I don't those things can't exist in me. This is the first rung of the ladder, you having a confidence. Not out of works. Not out of works. Not out of how many times you've been to church or how many hours you prayed, but out of a rapport. But I'll tell you this, it's hard to have one without the other. It's hard to have that rapport unless you do spend time with Him. It's like, which comes first, the chicken or the egg? I don't know. It's hard not to have... It's hard not to, you know, pray and spend time with Him, and He doesn't come and lavish His love on you. And an osmosis, it's just a natural thing. It develops inside of you. Praise God. Would you stand with me this afternoon? Hallelujah. I want to wish all of you a very happy new year. Candy and I love you very much. We certainly appreciate you. Be here for Jason next week. How many are getting something out of this prayer lesson? Hallelujah. I want to bless you. I want to pray over you. Father, I bless them. They're yours. They're not mine. I pray that they'll be so blessed. And Lord, I pray they'll not go out of here trying to build their own strength or energy in You, but Lord, it'll be that which is of Christ, that which is of love, that which is of grace. Not one of us, Father, not one of us can accomplish this in ourselves. But Father, we want to learn that place of falling back on God and learning how He can help us to become better than what we once were in Christ. I speak blessings over every one of these men. I speak blessings over every one of these women, teenagers. Father, bless us next week as we go into these few meetings with Jason. We bless him as he comes. Let his travels be full of grace, full of truth. We bless this day in the precious name of Jesus. And everybody said, amen. Hallelujah. We love you. God bless you. Have a wonderful Christ-filled day. Amen.